How deep is your love? Can you hear that? Dear listener. Do you know what that is? They don't know what it is. I'm going to give them a clue. It's a sucky sweet. You probably don't have them in England. Do they don't have them in England, do they?
Yeah, they must.
No.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. They don't have tatty scones.
Yeah, that is a shame.
They don't have square sausage.
Do they have tatty shops?
No, only Edinburgh's got tatty shops. Fucking hell. He phones me the other night, right? Doesn't even phone me. It's not even a conversation. Nathan messages me. It was back to Edinburgh. And I've got a 3-voice note diatribe about tatty shops. Right? Now, he's left here. Were you fed when you left here? You were fed, right? So I'm kind of going, oh, I mean, he's a growing lad, right? It was at least 2 hours ago. It's an hour and a half back. He's hungry. And he gets on, like, the phone him, like, did you get a tatty? He goes, no. What the fuck are you phoning, leaving, like, chewing up my fucking WhatsApp memory with tatty shop chat? I'm just interested. Do you have tatty shops in Glasgow? Well, the thing you've got to understand is that tatty is quite close to the Punjabi word dirty, and dirty means jobby. So most of the shops, no, we used to have tatty shops in Glasgow. I love a baked potato. Atkins killed it for me. Tell you what, I can't abide a microwaved baked potato, because do you know what, Nathan Sparling, it's not a fucking baked potato, it's a microwave potato. I love a properly baked potato, you know, good 2-hour job.
Maybe we should just talk about potatoes in this podcast. Should I
do potatoes in this podcast? I was going to talk about something else. I'll talk about my sour plumes. That's what I've got in my mouth. That is a classic Glasgow joke, right? Because your plumes in Glasgow, put it this way, men have them and women don't. That could be misconstrued in a number of different ways. Stupidity, arrogance, however you wish. Testicles. That's what your plumes are. But sour plumes are wee green sweets that you put them in your mouth and they make you go oof, because they're sour. Sour is sour in Scots. So sour plumes are sour plums. And it's not quite the same as going, oh, I've got sour plums. Oh, sour plumes. Pure sour plumes. Nathan shows up knowing full well I'm on a diet, don't you?
Yeah, but you're on a
what diet am I on?
You're a fasting.
Right, which is the?
Which means that you're allowed to eat as much as you like in 8 hours.
But should I?
8 hours.
Surely I'd lose more weight if I ate less.
No, that's why you're grumpy sometimes.
It doesn't make any difference how much I eat then.
No, not when you're allowed to eat.
That is illogical.
No, because your body burns more fat the longer that you fast.
Oh, really?
So it's not about how much you eat when you're allowed to eat. It's how long you fast for.
16 hours.
Yeah,
that's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was a bit snippy this morning, wasn't I?
Not to me.
You're so sweet, he's a liar. I was a wee bit sharp with him, but then he did throw a bit of a queenie hissy fit, just a tiny weeny one, right? So should we talk about potatoes? I was going to talk about something else. Let's talk about potatoes. I love a baked potato. Mm-hmm. Now here's what you need to understand. Should I remove my sour plume or should I continue with it in my mouth? Fuck it. So I tell you why. So I don't know if you can hear this in the background. Be quiet, let them hear, see if they can hear the oven been on in the background. Can you hear that? There's an oven on in the background. I'm braising. For those who have been with us since day eight, on the eighth day, God made rock and roll. That's a Kiss song. Pork belly. Was pork belly? No. Pork belly was quite early on. We did pork belly and we talked about pork vindaloo. Was it week 2? Gosh, how time flies when you enjoy yourself. And can I tell you, beloved listener, I'm fucking loving this. Enjoying this so much. It's difficult to tell you, with all sincerity, how beautiful it is to be connected with you again after all this time away. And connected without the filter of some commissioning editor deciding what I get to talk to you about. You decide what we talk about. And that's the great joy of this. It's user-generated content in the most practical and philosophically profound way. That's right. I'll be quoting Kierkegaard later. So we've got pork belly vindaloo in the oven. And Nathan was helping me cook, and he looked in the pot. And here's the thing you need to understand about Nathan. When he asks you a question, for example, are you going to put curtains up there? He's not asking, are you going to put curtains up there? He's saying, you better fucking put curtains up there, right? When he says, how many apples do you eat a week? He's not saying, is there a number? He's saying, you better fucking eat some apples this week. Because that whole phrase, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, is fine unless you're in an Asian house. Doctors coming and going on a regular basis. Ah, you're racist, love like that, Nathan Sparling. So, he's gone. I've lost him, genuinely. So Nathan was saying his mum had tuned in for the pork vindaloo cook-along. And I said, that's really lovely. Can you give her a discount? Because he was brought up, Nathan, you were brought up on kind of Indian food and stuff. And your mum knows all about the background. And she, what did she, was she then about potatoes? She wasn't sure if the aloo meant potatoes, was she? But I think we might put cauliflower in the pork vindaloo today. I think there's something really lovely. You saw the intense redness of it. See, the potatoes would look lovely. Big, flowery potatoes. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But equally, the white of the cauliflower, again, they suck in. The best bits of the cauliflower are the stems, you know, right at the base. That's where all the money's at, my mum's favourite bits. Like my mum's favourite bit's neck of chicken, because it's the bit, well, I used to think it was her favourite bit. This is quite kind of poignant. It wasn't, it was the only bit that was left after the four men in the house had eaten. And she never said a word. Amazing woman. Love my mum. I mean, like, an awful lot. And when you understand that I'm 52 and I spent the first 49 years of my life hammering tongs around with her, so rude to her and not. So you understand that when I talk about love my mum now, it's a hugely precious gift, a much loved victory, I think, in life, and my life is a better place for it. So if you see her, don't tell her. She doesn't need to know. Now, let me tell you a story. So the classic, and you don't have this in very many restaurants, and you'll often hear me say things like, if you go to an Indian restaurant and they have this dish on, go, eat it. Because they wouldn't make that dish unless they were good at making curry. So, for example, if you go to a dim sum place and they've got sulambao, which is the broth-based dumpling, eat there. Chances are they know what they're doing, yeah? A Japanese place, if they've got agadashi tofu, again, similar dish. You don't make it unless you know how to make it. There's no hiding. If you ever see an Indian restaurant or a Bengali restaurant with a lamb potato, chicken potato, beef potato dish on, it's a good place to eat. Surprisingly, albeit with the simplicity of the potato, that's an authentic dish. You can't really make that just on the hoof. That needs to have been made properly, and I'll tell you for why. So when we were kids growing up, chicken or lamb curry with potato, and our chicken and our lamb was on the bone, which I always struggle. My Kathleen, when we're doing curries and stuff, she always wants me to have chicken off the bone. Because she says that's what the punters expect. And I'm kind of gone, but you know, we always grew up with it a different way. And she quite rightly says, you can't guarantee the portion size when there's bones involved. And bless you, I love white people. Some of my best friends, some of my best friends know white people and they tell me they're great. I'm joking. But it's just not a thing, you know, we demolish meat off the bone, you know. So, growing up, lamb or chicken curry, you'd have these beautiful big flowery potatoes in it. Now, until only a few years ago, I didn't know my mum knew the different names of potatoes. Because you don't in India, you just know potatoes are potatoes. But she knows the flowery ones go better with this. I'm going, oh, that's just a woman constantly surprising me with her knowledge. And those big flowery potatoes, we spoke about this, I can't remember what podcast it was in, but I normally say leave the skins on your potatoes, but when it's going into a meat curry or a chicken curry, take the skin off because that gives you greater surface area to suck in that masala. Also, if you've over-salted a curry, get your potatoes in. Or get a can of chickpeas, mash them ting down, and add that as a bit of Caribbean pat to what I threw in there just to show you how international I am. So my house going up, a bowl of chicken and potato, and it was lovely. You'd take your chapati, your roti, You'd break a burki, a mouth-sized piece off. You would use that to mash down the potato, mix it with the gravy, break off some chicken, combine the gravy, the potato, and the chicken, squish it into a, like a, almost like a dumpling, if you like, but a very kind of rudimentary dumpling, unsealed. And you'd eat it, and you would, it was just hot buttered roti. Just the depth of that, that flouriness with that masala that's been cooking, and delicious chicken. It was the closest thing to heaven. Now, three boys growing up, we weren't, you know, we didn't, you know, we were immigrant class, same as working class. We didn't have much money. And I always remember, it was with lamb curry. You'd think in that house, the boys would be fighting over the lamb. But actually, I remember just around the time of the recession under the Tories, I didn't know it at the time, although I've always been politically aware. It's just a thing for me, because politics are people, people are love. Love is?
Food.
Food is?
Love.
Food love is?
Life.
Life is people. I remember me and my elder brother, Raj, fighting over who got more potatoes in their lamb curry. And I remember the time, you know that when you're wee, you remember a look from your parents, you can't decode it, you don't know what it means because you don't have the emotional intelligence. Anyway, always stop with me that wee look on my mom's face, wee tear in her eye. Anyway, I remember when I was doing the food shows, touring the food shows on stage, telling this story about, you know, when I was little I used to fight over the meat, but the potatoes were so delicious, particularly in the lamb curry, me and my brother would fight over the potatoes. And I was back home, I told my mum the story, and she said, that look back on her face again. And I remembered it from when I was wee. I said, what's going on? And she said, we had more potatoes in the curries because we ran out of money. We couldn't afford the lamb, so we filled it out with potatoes. And I always felt like I was cheating you boys. And I'm like, you know, Mum, you make the best potatoes in town. And she does. So, potatoes are a massive part of Punjabi cooking. They feature in all sorts of, so you'll have like chickpea potatoes, saag aloo, saag potatoes, spinach potatoes, just potatoes just on their own. Like there's an amazing thing you'll have with puri, so fried chickpea flour bread, kind of like those kind of bloated, oh, so delicious. Deep fried bread, I mean, come on, for Glasgow and a Punjabi, it's a carbohydrate deep fried. What is not to fall in love with instantly? You'd have that with potato masala. I do like a version of Bombay potatoes. It shouldn't really be called Bombay potatoes, it's Punjabi potatoes, but people know what Bombay potatoes is, isn't it? It kind of manages expectation in that regard. Just, you know, mash, you have a aloo tikki, which is an amazing thing. I don't think particularly is well known over here, which is, imagine spiced mash. So I do a Punjabi champ when we're popping up. It's just great to kind of have that, you know, garam masala and all that, and all the spices and fresh spring onions, again, the Chinese influence, green chilies, coriander stalks, all mixed into a mash for a great Sunday lunch with a masala leg of lamb and a red onion gravy. Oh, yeah. I ain't messing about, brethren. I ain't messing about, lovely listeners. I'm here to deliver, yeah? I came to slay. I don't know what that means. I saw Catherine Ryan wearing a t-shirt with that one. Well, I think it was spelled differently and it was at Christmas. So what you do is you take the potatoes, boil them, mash them, spice them, form them into little potato cakes, then fry them. And I know it sounds like the most basic thing in the world, but again, you've got that crusty, crispy exterior. It's slightly bitter where it's been caught on the tava, on the griddle pan. But that soft, again, duvet of deliciousness inside. And you have it with tamarind chutney or even ketchup. We used to have so much ketchup in the house for that. Potatoes and samosas, you know. Aloo paratha, so the flaky fried bread. Big, stodgy, heavy bread filled with potatoes. I mean, my wee brother and his kids used to come round to my mum's every Wednesday. And since the kids were wee, my two nieces and my nephew, aloo paratha is all they wanted. You know, my mum makes amazing aloo paratha. So potatoes are amazing in that regard. And also, just listen, if you want to throw a wee curveball into proceedings, when I was writing my first book, so my first book was Indian Takeaway, which was about cooking British food for the Indians, since the Indians was generous to give us their food. And as you can imagine, the Indians loved British food, did they, fuck? But I did a spiced shepherd's pie in Delhi, of all places. And, you know, it was delicious. It was a delicious thing. Potatoes are really quite incredible. And then what's the other one, of course? So I do turmeric potatoes as part of the Sunday lunch offering to go alongside the masala champ. So again, just tossed golden potatoes, you know, and kind of caught around the edges again. You know, when you boil your potatoes, drain the water, fluff them up, turn them out to hot oil, in with the turmeric, mix it through, just look amazing on the plate. The recipe we're going to do this week, well, what should we do this week? I tell you what I want to do this week. Should we do the masala skins? Mm-hmm. Yeah? So we do potato skins, masala potato skins. And alongside that, this is the reason I'm doing this recipe. It's not the most technically challenging of recipes, but we're going to do it with the slow roast tomato chili jam. That is the money. You will be thanking me for years to come for showing you how to make that dish. It's absolutely incredible. It's sweet, it's deep, it's puckering in your mouth, it's chilly, it's garlicky, it's amazing. And then you've got your deep fried potato skins that have been dusted in garam masala, black pepper and salt. Delish, delish, delish. And we come and find all that about me. Would you like to talk about potatoes anymore? I feel we've done it. Is it Plato that talked about the potato soul? Was it? No, you don't know. He doesn't know. I don't know either. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, I want to hear from you. Let us know what you've done with your potatoes. If there's anything interesting you do with your potatoes, I'd love to find out. I can't go. My mum will kill me. Hardy, hang your head in shame. Remember when we were talking about pakora? And so that in England it's called bhaji, and here it's called pakora. I think we're talking about fish pakora. Again, there isn't this tradition of three-course meals in the Indian subcontinent. So when you have pakora before your main meal, that makes me smile. It just shows how well kind of embraced Indian culture is in the UK. Pakora, for us, was that snack your mum would give you. It was the Milky Way, you know, the snack you can eat between meals without ruining your appetite. Sometimes it was the meal itself because it was all we could manage. Potato pakora. I mean, thinly, thinly cut potato. Want to kind of chip thin into the ground flour batter, deep fried. Sometimes with peas, frozen peas. Sometimes with onions. Always with pleasure. Always with pleasure. I'm really glad I managed to. What you need to understand is, right, I've not prepared a script here. I'm talking to you from my heart. And there's so many things to talk to you about in everyone. I mean, I was worried we would get to 10 minutes in some of them, and some of them are like overrunning by like 8 or 9 minutes, to be honest with each other here. But I sometimes, occasionally, I think, I forgot to mention that one there. So what I might do is, for our top-level Patreon subscribers, our gurus, if you will. I don't know if we're going to call them gurus yet, but like the top-level ones, you get a free podcast every month as well as something else. We might just kind of pull together things I've got to say. How does that sound? Because you know why? Because I love you. And love is?
Food.
And food is?
Love.
And food love is?
Life.
See you next time. Well, hear you next time.